It's a blessing to be here again in the mission conference, and thanks to all that have put up with us. This is really a strange place. You sacrifice all year to send us out to help us sustain us in the mission field, and then you bring us back for us to wail on you with hard preaching and things, and shows your interest in the Word of God, shows your interest in missions, and this has always been a blessing here. I've had an opportunity to be in a few other places, a few other churches, and there's nothing like coming home to you brothers and sisters who have shown a real desire for the Word of God and for missions. And one of the reasons, I think, is because you're willing to take this abuse that we bring each year. Not only take it, but you look forward to being revived. And we come up needing revival. And seems like we preach at you, but most of these messages that you've heard started with the Lord preaching them at us and bringing us to the point where we said, Lord, this is what I need. And since we're all of like flesh and desires, we all need these things. And we just thank the Lord for the way that together we serve the Lord. And you're an important part of the ministries. You see these different pictures on the wall and things. These are people that you've helped win to the Lord. This is glorious. And God's had a good idea, Bill. And the local church that is concerned for missions is a good idea. I wanted to preach tonight something I preached a few years ago about the armor bearer. And I went back to the passages and I began to read it, and I just couldn't get that far. I couldn't get past Jonathan. God has always used a man, and he's given a vision to a man, and he said, go out. And of course, that's the basis of the armor bearer. He didn't have the vision, and he followed Jonathan wherever he went and was part of the victory. But the more I read, the more I saw this Jonathan is one of the most underrated spiritual men in the Bible. You don't find much about Jonathan other than that he was faithful to the calling of God, that his devotion to God's man, and there's several things, and I just couldn't get past it. And I just want to share with you a few thoughts that I had. Let's read in 1 Samuel 14. We're just going to read a few spotted verses to refresh your memory. Here you have the son of the king. He's to be the next king. He's to take on the lead of Israel. And as we start out, we see his father, who is there sitting underneath the pomegranate tree, giving more fuel to the proposition that God's going to reject him. And let's read 1 and 2 to start with in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Skip down to verse 6, and it says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. In verse 12 it says, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show thee, show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. First thing you see about Jonathan, he knew God. He knew that God was powerful. There was no doubt in him. He says, let's go see if God, there's no restraint in God. He knew God. And God is looking for men today that'll know Him, that'll know His power. God is a powerful God. God saved me. I was an enemy. He saved each one of you that are saved here tonight. Those of you that aren't saved, He's a powerful God to forgive you and to save you and to make you a child of God. He's a powerful God. He's a God that defeats the enemies. There's enemies on every hill. This world is against us. Amen. We are but passers through in this world, and everything is against us. And our God is a powerful God. And Jonathan knew that God, and he knew that he is powerful. He knew that there was no restraint for the Lord to save by many or few. Amen. He trusted in the strength of God. He wasn't trusting in the 600 men that he had as backup. He wasn't trusting in his armor bearer. He was trusting that God is the one who saves. And he was willing to test that salvation of God.
Amen.
He had faith. Faith in this. And that faith provoked action, not fear. You have fear to go against the enemies in your life? It's a lack of faith. Pure and simple. You don't trust that God can defeat the enemies in your life. The things that have come up against you, that buffets you day after day, vices and things in your lives, faith that God defeats the enemies. Another thing you find out is that Jonathan knew that the victory's already won. We sing it all the time. The victory's won. He's overcome the enemy. Jonathan wasn't going up there to win the victory. He's going up to convince the mothers that the victory's been won. He's going up there to say, hey, I'm communicating with you. God's already defeated you. He had no doubt in his mind. God had won. He had faith in the power of God. And he went before them Philistines because the victory had been won by God himself. He went without fear before the enemy.
Amen.
Another thing you see in verse 12 that I think is very important. For those of you who want to serve the Lord, it's serving the Lord and not yourself.
Amen.
Look at verse 12. It says, come up after me. He's talking to his armor bearer, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel.
Amen.
Jonathan wasn't fighting for Jonathan.
Right.
He wasn't fighting for himself. He was fighting for Israel. It was the children of God that he was representing.
Amen.
You want to serve the Lord? You want to be effective? You got to serve God. You got to serve the people of God. You've got to go without the concern of yourselves. He risked it all.
Amen.
He could have been captured and never been king. He could have been killed climbing up that hill and never had the opportunity to what God had what his birthright was, what his dreams and his ambitions. He wasn't fighting for himself and he wasn't protecting himself.
Amen.
His father was over underneath the pomegranate tree, satisfied with the fruit of this little tree instead of the fruit of victory.
Amen.
There he was with 600 men. Jonathan encountered 20 on top of this hill. Military strategy says you don't take two men and charge up a hill that you got to crawl with hands and knees and scrabble to the top to a fortified enemy. There was Saul with 600 men sitting under this tree, enjoying the shade and the fruit thereof, rather than doing the work of the Lord. Jonathan was a man of God, and he went to do the God's work, and he risked it all, trusting in Him. And as a brother preached tonight, there's sad stories. There's a tragic side. You don't see anything in the whole life of Jonathan that is negative, but he never became king. Jonathan was rejected. He was killed in battle, and never saw what was his birthright. He had great faith, his works. He was a mighty warrior.
Amen.
But he never saw what was rightfully his to be king. Why? Because his father was rejected.
Yeah.
Thing I begin to see here, parents, what about your children?
Amen.
Are your children going to be, these children, are they going to be rejected of the blessings of God because of us? Here's Jonathan, a man of faith that wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to free Israel of their enemies. He wasn't concerned about himself. And yet he was rejected because dad didn't do what he was supposed to do. Exodus 20, verse 5, one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. These things that we do are going to be passed on. Our iniquity, our laziness. The Lord can visit upon your children, upon my children, our rebellion. God has called us to do a work and we back away. We say, no, it's not worth it. We said I'm going to enjoy the fruits of this world. Our job becomes more important to us than the meetings. The schooling of our very children become more important than them learning the Word of God and be in the fellowship. How many times I've heard that my children can't go Wednesday night because they get out so late and they'd be tired to start school Thursday. What's more important than the fellowship
Amen.
Of the Word of God with the brothers?
Amen.
Sunday night they've got extra homework. They might better get a C in math and be approved of God.
Amen.
The example that we parents put our priorities in our life.
Amen.
Could eliminate our children from the blessings that God has for them. Maybe you don't want the blessing that Jonathan strove for. He wanted to be blessed of God. He wanted the victories for honor and glory to the Lord and for the benefit of the entire nation of Israel. He wanted that because his father didn't. He was rejected and didn't receive the benefits that God had. What heritage are you passing on to your children?
Amen.
I was fortunate. I was born in a family that accepted the Lord when I was a year old, and I was taken to every meeting. We never missed a meeting for any reason. We drove through 5 to 5 miles through the deep snow to find out that nobody else showed up at the church because of the blizzard or whatever. I had a tremendous blessing in that. There's a heritage that was given to me. That meeting with God's people as He commanded was important. What heritage are you passing on to your children? What's the priority? Do you really believe that serving the Lord outweighs career,
Amen.
Job,
Amen.
The riches of this world, the children's own education? We left Mexico. We went to Mexico and we were there for a couple of years, and the guys that bought my farms didn't make the payments, and I'm in a fix, and I go back to the States, and I work like crazy for a year and a half and try to salvage something of the situation, try not to be thrown in jail for fraud and for default or whatever. I'm convinced that if I hadn't returned to Mexico, my son wouldn't be preaching today.
Amen. Amen.
I wouldn't have two daughters praying and asking the Lord for godly men that they together can serve the Lord. It was a tough decision. Here I am back in the States, and it's nice here. So nice that I hate it. Some of you missionaries, you know what I'm talking about. The lure here is so strong. Those things, my children are going to be hindered because I haven't been the father that I should have been. And I ask you, what about you? The single greatest responsibility you have is raising your children.
Amen.
How many missionaries, how many pastors, how many godly people have lost their children to the world and to Amen. Sin?
Right.
Examine your life. What are you passing on to your children? What is the most important thing that they see in your life? I want to shift just a little bit to the children. In Exodus 20, in verse 12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given." When I read this verse, I always said, "Boy, that's true. I honored my mom and dad, and I worked from daylight till sunset. I've had long days from beginning to end." It's talking about prosperity. It's talking about enjoying the days on this earth. There's no joy. God isn't going to give you joy if you dishonor your father and mother. They may not be saved, and they may not be the ones that are giving you a Christian example, but there's something to honor in them.
Amen.
You young people, you go home tonight and you think what the blessing you've had for the parents you've had, and you take a moment to honor them. You thank them. You thank the Lord for them. And if you've had the blessing to have Christian parents, parents that have led you in the way of the Lord, don't you dishonor them. You take a moment and honor them and thank them. Oh, they may not be perfect. They may cause you some grief in your life according to your perspective, but you honor them under the Lord.
Amen.
Their parents that gave you life and their parents that have nurtured you in the Word. You're here tonight because they brought you. And you say, "Oh, that's just another boring meeting." You're talking about God's Word, your Creator. You have an opportunity to be under the teaching of this Word. Honor your father and your mother. The man that I always like to focus in this is called the armor bearer. And there are only a few men that really have a vision because so many don't want it or they're not willing or whatever. But God has chosen a few men as He did Jonathan with a vision. And then He puts an opportunity for others to step in behind.
Amen.
And you see this in the armor bearer in 4:7 when he says first Samuel 14. When he says, and the armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart."
Amen.
God's looking for men and women that get behind what He's doing. They don't have to be mentioned by name. This armor bearer, you never get his name. You never hear any big hoorays for him. But he's a man that wanted to serve the Lord, and his responsibility was to back up a man. And he stood behind John and says, "Whatever's in your heart, I'm with you to that point."
Amen.
One of the big reasons that that evangelism is stifled wherever you go is selfishness. I get the credit, I'll go do something. But I ain't going to go work for like crazy and Joey gets the credit. That's why people don't give. The good message last year was that every you work $10 an hour, and every $10 you send to missions, you just worked an hour for missions. But people don't see it that way. They got to get patted on the back for that hour from the pastor. They've got to be recognized as giving that hour, because when you put it in the offering box, nobody notices. The armor bearer is unselfish. Selfishness is a hindrance to each and every one of us. We want our part. We want our share of all the glory. God deserves the glory.
Amen.
He's the one that needs to be glory and honored and lifted up. And when you refuse to step behind a work, when you sluggishly support this church, it's selfishness. If they called you up to sing a special, you'd be there. If they give you Sunday morning to preach, we have a young man in Mexico. He's a good preacher. He won't preach in the open meetings. He wants to be called the preacher of the morning. Sunday morning. When are you going to let me preach Sunday morning? He says, not till you get your heart right and want to bless the church. He wants to heap glory to himself. Look how well I can expound the scriptures. No, we'll have some little kids that all they want to do is bless the church. They're the ones that will stand up and give what God's laid on their heart. Before we have you proud and arrogant, thinking that you have to heap upon yourself glory and honor. The armor bearer is unselfish, and he gives himself for the work that the Lord's called him to do. He's got no name. He's got no personal goals. His goal was to follow Jonathan. It's a marvelous thing when you see that. But you know, Jonathan, and this is part of the story that I just love, he wasn't always, as you said, it's a tragic thing. He never became king. There came a time when he knew that he no longer was going to be king. He knew that David was anointed to be king, which meant he had to die. That's the way it worked. He didn't fight. He didn't complain. He didn't kick and scream. What did he do? Look in 24, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4. Here's the man that's going to take his place. Because David's going to take his place, Jonathan knows that his days are numbered on the earth, and he's never going to see what was rightfully his by birthright, rightfully his by his faith and by his works. But he said to David, and then Jonathan said unto David, whatsoever thou soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. That's quite a man of faith. That's a man that loves what God does. He loves the will of God. Whatever it takes, David, I'm on your side. You go read the whole story. There's a whole bunch of verses. We won't go into them tonight, but Jonathan is protecting David, the one who's going to replace him. Look at 18, 3 and 4. 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Jonathan was recognizable throughout all the land by his clothing. There was a certain robe that the prince wore. There was a certain set of clothing that the king wore, the prince wore. This Jonathan took this off and gave it to David. God selected you? I'm in agreement. He said he gave him his sword. This is the point that really touches me in a lot of ways, because it's hard to pass on the power of God to someone else knowing that they're going to take your place. As missionaries, we've had to confront this. I've won a few people to the Lord, and 99% of them preach better than I do, and they understand the scripture better than I do, and they're taking over. That hurts. This prideful man. What's going on here? I mean, they're supposed to still be looking up to me, not correcting me. Are you passing the sword on to those that you win? Or do you lord over them that you are their father and you have brought them to the Lord and you hold them back? Jonathan was going to be replaced because he was going to have to die to give his place to David. And he says, here's the sword. Here's my bow. Here's all that comes with being prince.
Amen.
God's given it to you, and I do too. Why is the church stifled in so many ways? Because we won't pass it on. We won't give it on. We won't pass on what we've been given. We have an example of that. We've got that little bakery there in Mexico. We hire some of these kids, come in there, and they know nothing. They don't even show up with their lunch. We feed them. We do everything for them, and we teach them how to ice a cake. And then in a few weeks, they're actually pretty good at it, and so we hire someone else. And now, I'd like you to teach this person to ice this cake, and they won't do it. No, they're going to replace me. They don't need me. Selfishness over something so trivial. What about the Word of God? How is it that we can hold on to it and not pass it on? Not be joyous when somebody steps out and the Lord anoints them. The Lord's going to choose somebody to carry this work on. And it won't be the one we choose. How many times has it been, brothers in Mexico, you pastors, you know, out of nowhere, somebody that you would never expect, the Lord has laid a hand on it and says, this is the work to do. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's not a big work. Sometimes it's a very small thing. Somebody needs to lead it. Somebody has got the vision to do it. And, well, this younger brother can do it. I'll stand back and watch instead of getting behind and help. We're called here as a teamwork. We're called here to be a body functioning and moving together. And this story of Jonathan and his love for God's people, his love for God's will over his own life should be a tremendous story to us. This armor bearer, I'm with you all the way. If you want to charge up that mountain and get yourself killed, I'm with you all the way. God wants men and women that are dedicated to do his will, to quit worrying about this world and leave this body, this, our reputation, our face before them all. There's an enemy out there. The victory's been won. We've just got to go give that news to them. We've got to go and claim that place that God's already given us. He will save. Do not restrain of the Lord to save by many or few. He's given us this land. There's a work for us to do, but our selfishness and our pride will get in our way. I exhort you tonight, just go over these verses, go over this story. Consider what God did with Jonathan and was willing to do. Consider this armor bearer. Consider Saul. Consider how he took it all away from his children. His whole family was wiped out except for Mephibosheth. But one of his grandsons. Can't even think of his name in English. But he was crippled. Crippled for life. Don't cripple your children. Don't shorten your own life, children, by dishonoring your mother and father. And don't be selfish of what God's given you. Amen.